T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Ever. I don't know how to put this.
Mark Cox.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, folks?
Politics lead now for the kids out there. It's an old school, more polite way of saying BS. Former Vice President Joe Biden is on an 8-day, 18-county, no malarkey tour across Iowa.
Even CNN had to explain it to the Democrats. For you young kids, don't be scared. It just means no BS. We should call this No Malarkey Radio. Is that what they want us to call?
Sure. Thank you. Yeah. Are there really people that don't know what malarkey means?
I mean,
it's just not a phrase. When's the last time you heard that phrase?
I don't know, but I knew what it was.
But yeah, even if you hear it in any sort of context at all, you would get it. Mm-hmm. It's not a difficult word to understand. It just makes you sound old.
You might hear Uncle Lewis say it around the holiday, you know, dinner.
But it's going to make a comeback now, right? So we should start forming a list of all the words that are going to come back now, like malarkey.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm telling you.
Don't screw around with me.
Yeah. I think it's funny that all these networks are scrambling to explain
what malarkey means.
Well, if you're going to have an 80-year-old president, we're going to have to get used to that, right? I'm just saying. I'm just pointing that out.
Okay.
All right. Glad you're back with us here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. We got lots coming up, but I want to get straight to my guest. He is Graham Renz. He's a senior policy analyst with the Show Me Institute. Graham, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Nice to be here.
Hey, buddy. Great to have you on the radio again. Listen, this caught my attention yesterday. There's been lots of talk about the fact that, hey, we're getting a soccer stadium. It's going to be privately financed mostly, and we're all happy. And then I read in the paper yesterday that the city is going to the state and they're going to end up asking for $30 million in tax credits. And then the Taylor family wants another 25 years of city tax abatements on top of it. So here we are again talking about a huge outlay of taxpayer dollars to attract a sports franchise.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. And just to insert real quick, I'm under 30 and I know what malarkey means.
That's good. All right. Good.
but in terms of the MLS stadium, you know, when the second proposal was coming along, I was talking to some folks. I said, you know, this proposal is better than the first one. It's not good, but it's better. And back then it looked, you know, as close to good as you could hope for, given how, you know, the history St. Louis has for throwing money after projects like this. But now it just looks worse and worse and worse. As you note, we've got asks for $30 million in state tax credits. So that's not just folks from St. Louis, but people from Cape, people from Kansas City, from up north, everybody helping to subsidize St. Louis's, brand new toy. And that's when the state already has hundreds of millions of dollars in, outstanding tax credits, money that can essentially be credited towards your tax bill that the state doesn't know when they're going to be used.
Just to be clear, let me interrupt. That means that while it's not taxpayers handing the Taylor family $30 million or the city to develop the site, it means it's $30 million that will never go into state tax coffers that would have otherwise.
That's right. And it often depends on what kind of tax credits they are, but almost all of them, what they do, you get issued a tax credit and then you get to essentially redeem it when you want to. So that means redeeming it when you want to means that you've got your tax bill and then you go to the state and you say, hey, here's my tax bill. Here's a credit I have. Take the amount that the credit is for off my tax bill.
Right.
So when the state's trying to budget, they've got to say, oh, well, let's guess how many hundreds of millions of dollars of tax credits will be redeemed this year. And so it just puts a strain on the state. And it's when they're redeemed, it's essentially money that they would have collected, but they're now not going to.
Right. Yeah. And then you started to say the other issue is then once they secure the site, and that's what the $30 million in tax credits would go for to get the plot of land ready over there next to Union Station, where you currently have on and off ramps to 4064. Once that's done, and then the construction begins, on whatever revenue is brought in there over the next 25 years, the Taylor family wants an abatement of those taxes. In other words, they get to keep them, correct?
Correct, yeah. And so this would be for property taxes. So the taxes that they would pay on this brand new privately owned stadium, because it's going to be, they will own it, not the city. They'll be subject to property taxes, and the new amount, the amount that they would pay once the stadium is built, they won't have to pay at all. So what that means is that the things that your property taxes usually fund, like school districts, police, fire protection, all that good stuff, that's not going to get the money that it would have otherwise gotten. And that's what the city has this huge problem with, you know, with these problems, projects, sorry, like TIF and all these things that we hear about so much.
Yes.
The problem is that beyond unfair treatment, all this other sort of stuff, the basic government functions, the things that people actually depend on and need the government to do and to do a minimally decent job of, those services can't be rendered to taxpayers because the city said, oh, yeah, well, we've promised to every fancy developer that they just don't have to pay those taxes. So sorry, ordinary taxpayer, you're screwed. And so that's essentially what we're going to see here. And for 25 years, right, that's a long time. And I'm just looking through this application that the MLS folks put together, and they say things like, and this is I'm quoting, simply put, MLS fans are the people St. Louis will need to recruit and retain to populate St. Louis's booming startup sector and St. Louis's growing biotech. So the idea that these people have is that you're going to, you know, it's build it and they will come. And it's sad that folks, and especially folks who handle so much taxpayer money, still believe these sorts of things. But essentially, these folks are saying, hey, if you don't give us the money, no, you know, St. Louis isn't going to grow. Nobody's going to move here. And then, your schools and whatnot will really be screwed. But, you know, what's so ironic is that, one, nobody gets up and moves just to be close to an MLS stadium. But
yeah. Yeah.
Just because of how this thing is going to be funded, even if it is a great booming attraction, the schools and fire and police, they're just never going to get the money that they need. And they're going to have all this new demand created by the activity at the stadium, and they'll just have no way to pay for it.
It's a field of dreams, is what you're telling me there, Graham. And we're just going to wait for all the people to come walking out of the cornfield, and then we'll be good.
Yeah, right. I know folks move around for all sorts of silly reasons, but I cannot for the life of me imagine saying I'm going to move, you know, from Nashville or Indianapolis to St. Louis because they have a soccer team. You know, I just can't even wrap my mind around it. But this is the sort of stuff that these folks are pushing.
Yeah, it's a great point. Hey, Graham Renz, thanks so much for your time, my friend.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Mark.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Go to showmeinstitute.org to read more about this issue and, of course, other wastes of taxpayer money in some cases. I'm not against the soccer stadium. I just think if it's a commercial success, it'll pay for itself. Why are the taxpayers on the hook? It's a fair question. Think of Luke Trolley. We'll be right back.
And they're not definitive. First, it's good in Judiciary Committee, then it goes over to Intel, and now it's back to Judiciary. Is Adam Schiff going to testify? Because he's a fact witness. That would be great. I tell you what, if Adam Schiff testifies, I'll show up on behalf of the White House.
Wow, Kellyanne Conway. We need to start a movement to get Kellyanne Conway a new husband. Anybody in? I'm in. I'll raise my hand. This guy, you want to throat punch him or something. I mean, he's just... Every day on Twitter, he trolls his own wife. How could you? I've been married a long time. I could not imagine for a minute if she was on Twitter, picking one of her tweets and, like, you know, retweeting it with a comment to troll her. Like, he's nuts.
I find it endearing. I think they're doing it on purpose. I think there's a show going on there. There's no way their marriage could sustain the actual controversy that they're saying it is. I think it's a show. I think they're putting on a show for us.
I hope you're right.
That
guy.
It's a show.
Ah, man. She could do a lot better than that.
Truly felt that way, if he was so anti-Trump, as anti-Trump as he was, she would have to say, we've got a conflict of interest here at work. If my partner was bad-mouthing you all over social media all the time, I'd have to be like, hey, honey.
Hey, I bought Eddie a beer the other night. You better not be bad-mouthing me on social media. You know what I'm saying?
That's why, though.
Police dog, is it?
No. Here, Chris Arps, late to the party again.
It's 8:25, Chris.
It was like 7. I got headphones on, but they're not plugged in anything.
They're plugged in. They're just not turned up. Trying again.
Welcome to the studio for the first time.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we're so glad you're with us.
How does this work?
Weren't you in for Annie yesterday?
What's that?
You were in for Annie yesterday, right?
I did.
He forgot how to work headphones.
He did, apparently.
Much better.
24 hours.
I've got a question for you.
Uh-oh.
Do you agree that Ballpark Village has been a boon for St. Louis and has brought people down to downtown St. Louis? Would you agree with that?
I don't know. Maybe the ballpark attracted Ballpark Village, if that's what you're saying.
But not Ballpark Village.
No, it's fine. It's taken them a long time to develop it. And I think one reason is, when they first started talking about it back in 2007, the economy had tanked, and it took them a while to generate enough interest to think they were going to be able to put something in there that people would buy.
Do you know how Ballpark Village and Busch Stadium 3 was financed?
Oh, I'm sure.
Through state tax credits?
I'm sure. But
approved by the Missouri Development Finance
Board. But do you think
for a moment that
they wouldn't have built the new Busch Stadium without that?
I think they would have built it.
They would have had to scale back Ballpark Village,
exactly, because Ballpark Village was financed with tax credits,
which means people in I don't know, Kansas City and Springfield will also be short of services because of the tens of millions of dollars that didn't go into the state coffers that we can't fund roads and all that stuff with. My point is, I'm not opposed to these things, but it's just like Solyndra. I think back to what the Obama administration did with Solyndra, because they were so convinced that we'd all be driving cars that didn't need gasoline by 2019, that we should send hundreds of millions of dollars to subsidize Solyndra, and then they went bankrupt and we lost all of that money. If that technology is good enough for prime time, an entrepreneur will step in, like Fish. What do they call it? The show on TV where they fund entrepreneurs.
Oh, Shark Tank.
I almost called a fish tank. Shark Tank. I almost called a fish tank. That's what came to mind. So my point is if it's commercially viable, why not let private businesses fund it? Why do taxpayers have to step in and do that?
You know, I can't.
We're going to come down and spend our money, and we're going to park, and we're going to eat. We're going to do all those things. Why do we have to throw $30 or $50 million in on top of that?
You know, tax credits have gotten a bad name over the last couple of years. I can't remember why.
Huh. But, where did that $100,000 come from? $120,000.
There we go.
Let's talk about that. The low-income housing tax credit industry. There you go.
Tax credits. But I just think tax credits have been so demonized, which they should to a certain point. But in a lot of respects, a lot of these projects would never be done unless they had public money involved in them. And that's just the way, that's just the new paradigm now. You know, if you want to have a major project, there's going to be public tax money involved in it.
And
that's
it's legitimate to question it when you've got boondoggles like the America Center sitting over here empty, although we'll have some battle hawks there at some point if that flies. And we're still in court with the Rams over that mess, right? We're having to give away the practice facility in Earth City because of that.
For a dollar.
And we gave away all kinds of tax credits and abatements to build that thing. And now we've got the loop trolley, which we're $52 million in debt on, and it can't operate.
This is a soccer town. We're getting a new stadium. Why are you raining on it, Mark?
I'm just pointing out that all the time we talk about the fact that
why
do taxpayers have to step in and put their necks on the line because somebody who has the money to do it thinks it's too risky. So, hey, let's go stick it to the taxpayers. The taxpayers take it in the shorts. That's all I'm saying.
You know, there's a concept in real estate called OPM. Other people's money. And I think that's how
that's government is. Yeah, that's all what government's
that's
about.
That's how people stay rich.
Yeah.
Taylors ain't stupid.
That's why they drive new cars all the time and I don't from Enterprise, right?
Exactly.
That's it. Yeah, exactly. All right. We'll get to a break. We're going to get back to the city of Evanston story and get Chris Arp's take on it here in just a minute. Stick around.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Air Comfort Service Heating and Cooling Weather with Chief Meteorologist Dave Murray.
Dealing with a bit of a changeable sky on this Tuesday. There's no real big weather system coming in, but there are some clouds. But I'm going to be optimistic. Call it a mix of clouds and sunshine. Warmer, though. Southerly flow, 49.50 for the high. Tonight, clear skies, 32 for the overnight low. Light winds. Wednesday, a real pretty day. Lots of sunshine. Warm it up to 52 in the afternoon. This is 97.1 FM Talk. Chief Meteorologist Dave Murray.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. A California investigation has found that PG&E failed to adequately inspect and maintain its transmission lines for years before a faulty line started the deadliest fire in state history. In a 700-page report detailing the problems that led to the transmission line to malfunction in November of 2018, sparking the Camp Fire, investigators at the California Public Utilities Commission said they found systemic problems with how the company oversaw the safety of its oldest lines. Spanish oil, gas, and chemical giant Repsol is aiming to cut emissions to net zero by 2050. The company says its management analyzed the company's role in the fight against climate change, which triggered the strategic shift. Bad news if you're a fast food fan. We may be facing a French fry shortage due to a poor potato crop caused by cold and wet weather this year. Canada is also expected to have a higher demand for potatoes because of an increase in fry processing capacity. On Wall Street, futures sharply lower. That's Your Money Now.
Your Money Matters, brought to you by Fisher Window and Door Store, your dealer for Marvin Windows and Doors in the St. Louis region. FisherWindow.com. Traffic from the Ambassador Floor Company Traffic Center.
This report brought to you by Burlington, and we had an accident southbound 270 south of Page causing a delay that jam that goes back through Highway 70, and then another accident reported in the middle of all that. So it's a slow go there. Eastbound 364 is also slow at 270. Eastbound 270 still heavy and slow at Lindbergh. Westbound lined up at 367. Eastbound 6440, most of the volume there is at Winghaven. It's not really heavy again until 170 through Big Bend. Westbound lining up near Hampton. Now 44 eastbound, they cleared one of the accidents approaching 141 from the left side. We still had one on the right shoulder, so a delay behind that. Northbound 270 is stacked up. 44 through Manchester. And 44 eastbound is slow again, really slow, headed for Kings Highway this morning. We do have volume on the Illinois side. Northbound Route 3, pretty heavy and slow, headed for the Poplar. And it looks like westbound 5564, really slow at the 70 split. Other than that, we look good. Help spread the warmth. Join Burlington's annual coat drive through January 20th. Donate a coat at any Burlington store to help your neighbors in need. As thanks, get 10% off your purchase. Find your store at burlington.com. I'm Sue Thomas with traffic. It's 8:33 at 97.1 FM Talk.
Hey, let me tell you about the folks at Blue Chip Pest Control. They would love to help you figure out, you know, which bugs have made it into your house for the winter, because they want to stay warm just like you do. And the folks at Blue Chip can help you with that. Maybe it's not bugs. Maybe it's not spiders or ants. Maybe it's mice or rodents who've made it into the house. I've had a problem before with a raccoon that got into my attic. And they can deal with that. They can do wildlife removal for you as well. So they've got you covered from the flying insects to the spiders, which my family hates. Blue Chip comes to my house quarterly. They send me a detailed report afterwards on what they've done, what they found, so I know what to expect, the type of chemical that they used, which is all safe for your pets. They've been doing this a long time. They've been at it since the late 1950s. Still a family owned company right here in St. Louis. Use Blue Chip Pest Control. I trust them. You can too. Go to their website today to find out more. Get their coupon for $25 off, stlbugs.com.
You're listening to The Mark Cox Show, brought to you by An Olive Ovation, St. Louis's premier destination for the finest Mediterranean foods and home accessories since 2007. Custom gift baskets are our specialty. We ship, too. Open every day at 8829 Ladue Road and at anoliveovation.com.
Tony La Russa here. Has your loss of energy and weight gain thrown you a curveball in your relationship? If so, go see my friends over at Victory Men's Health. Discreet, first-class professionals will help you hit those curves out of the park. VictoryMen'sHealth.com. That's VictoryMen'sHealth.com.
If you've been contacted for past due tax debt, garnishments, levies, and liens, remember the Constitution affords you due process before this can happen. Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've helped hundreds of individuals and small businesses resolve their disputes with the Missouri Department of Revenue and the IRS. I have more than 30 years of legal experience, and I know your rights. Schedule your appointment today and let's meet face-to-face to go over my 8-point plan. My strategy is to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. My firm and I will handle the filing and negotiations for you or on your business's behalf. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, at 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com. That's LanceDrurylaw.com.
You have a 96% chance of losing out on $111,000 in Social Security benefits. According to new research in Bloomberg, 96% of hardworking Americans lose an average of $111,000 in Social Security benefits due to critical timing mistakes. But you could avoid this with a free Social Security analysis from Scott Brooks of Financial and Tax Architects in St. Louis. Scott has over 30 years of experience, and he knows Social Security. If you've saved $200,000 and haven't filed for Social Security, be one of the first 10 callers to get your free analysis now at 314-626-8816. Don't risk losing $111,000 in benefits that are rightfully yours. Call 314-626-8816. 314-626-8816.
Mark Cox. Talk lines are open now at 314-241-9797 or 866-455-9797. Legalize. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Don't criticize it.
When cannabis becomes legal in a few weeks, the city of Evanston plans to take the expected green revenue and divert 100% of the tax money to a separate fund in the city account for local reparations.
I'm offering no apologies. This is for Black Evanston residents.
Chris, there's still time for you to move to Evanston, Illinois.
When do you have to establish residence?
I don't know. They don't have any plans. They're just going to take up to $10 million of revenue from legalized marijuana, and they're going to give it back to Black people. Just begin. You qualify, brother. You need to go.
I do qualify, I think.
Absolutely.
I'd love to know, what is the population, the African-American population of Evanston? I'd be curious to know. And, you know, everybody is going to be coming out saying they're Black. How do you prove? Do you have to have some type of proof if you're not obviously smoking Black?
So, yeah, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know what their requirement's going to be, and they're not real clear on what they're going to do with the money. Listen to the other part of the story here. Hold on.
This is the first that I've heard of in the nation. I'm hoping that it will be a model that other localities will explore.
Now, the city does expect some potential legal fights moving forward. We should point out right now it's not exactly clear how they will iron out all the details to allocate these funds.
We just want to be clear before you start moving to Evanston. We're not clear how this is. So their stated reason is that at some point in the past, bear in mind, Evanston is where Northwestern University is, right? One of the prestigious, most prestigious colleges in the nation, right? The Medill School of Journalism, all that stuff up there. It's a pretty highbrow town. Although there are areas that are less affluent, the homes right around Northwestern are probably million, 2 million. I mean, it's expensive real estate right on the coast of the lake there, north of Chicago. So one of the ladies they featured in the story is a working mom. She's got two master's degrees. She says she works in Evanston, for all I know, it maybe at the school, but she can't afford to live there. And that's the stated reason for them collecting all this money. So are they going to give her enough money to let her buy a $500,000 house? Or clearly, if they're only collecting $10 million, there's not enough money to give everybody enough money to buy a house. So exactly what equity are they going to achieve if they give everybody $5,000? I just don't quite know what they're after. It's like this guilt complex, but what does it solve at the end of the day?
Well, what it sounds like to me, since this is going to be a recurring thing where they're taking $10 million worth of cannabis money, maybe instead of a one-time check, maybe you get a check every month. Like Yang, his $1,000 a month thing, the presidential mm-hmm. candidate, maybe you get $1,000 a month from the cannabis fund. I don't know if that's the technical name for it.
Maybe they can just give them weed.
They're still working with the title.
The cannabis reparations.
Well, what
fund.
They claimed was they're going to collect all of this money up to $10 million. Like the fund would have a limit set of $10 million, and then they would decide what they're going to do with it out of that $10 million. So they're going to build affordable housing. I just don't know what it is they're after or how they prove. Like, you're going to have an Elizabeth Warren situation where somebody goes and gets a DNA test and says, I'm 1/1024th African-American. I deserve to have some of this money. You know that there's going to be a fight over it.
Is it based on need? And then if it's based on need, you get into a lot of other issues that will bring up. I get the umbrella idea. Mm-hmm. This sounds like a good moral decision to make, right? Okay, but the things that all go behind it, they got this idea, but it's like, oh, well, we forgot to look into this. Yeah. And if we do this, then it's going to lead to this. And it's just like this whole mess of how are you going to make this actually happen and be any semblance of fair.
Yeah. Right.
Maybe you have to prove you can dance or something.
Then I believe.
No reparations.
Well, white people can't dance?
Can't jump.
I was going to say, you're going to have to get in line for the other groups that come forward. But I'm sure there are other ethnic minorities who will come forward and say, well, I was redlined too, or my grandfather wasn't treated fairly because he was Irish or Hispanic or whatever the case may be.
Why do I get money for that? That didn't happen to... Because
I don't know.
And here's the thing. I get that there are still a lot of families dealing with the repercussions of bad loans that were... The government created this problem, so the government's not going to be able to fix it.
Exactly.
But families were not allowed, like lenders were not lending to African-American families. And then private people were doing it, like private individuals mm-hmm. were doing it, hiking up the interest, knowing that they couldn't afford it. White people left the area, and then black people were defaulting on their homes. And then you have places like Gary, Indiana, and East St. Louis. I get, and that was part of it was a government created problem because of the unfairness in the lending process that they weren't lending to minority families. Is there a way to make that right? I don't know. But what you guys are saying is accurate. It's going to be very difficult to make this fair.
Very difficult
to go back and fix that from the government, a government created problem.
Can I make a suggestion? Please. Can you invite one of these people on? Because I would love to hear.
Their explanation.
Explain this.
Oh, like, how it's going
to
work.
The mayor or whoever is a part of this. I'd love to hear the explanation of how this is going to work.
Yeah.
They don't even seem to know yet, which is the problem.
Exactly.
You throw this idea out and it's just like, it's so convoluted because there's no actual, they don't know yet.
Yeah. I would say that Evanston is probably a lot like Boulder, Colorado. Mm. 12 or 13 square miles surrounded by reality. I just don't think that you can expect any common sense to come rolling out of there.
That makes a good radio problem.
I'm just telling you.
Well, and we talked about it off air, and you mentioned it briefly on air. There's something that sounds so racist about taking weed money for this. Like, when I heard it this morning, I was like, what? Like, you got to be kidding me. Like, that's really, that you're playing with this?
Since marijuana is being legalized, and a lot of African-American men were sent to jail for selling marijuana. So a lot of the activists think this is so wrong because you see white entrepreneurs are going to make money off millions off of marijuana when black people have been selling on the streets and they go to jail. So maybe they look at this as some kind of reverse kind of, we'll use the money. We'll use marijuana that was sending you to jail for decades. We'll use that money to try to help African-American lives.
To make good on it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's called hashtag hashtag liberal logic.
They're going to need to come up with a different word for it, because the word reparations has such a negative connotation now that if that's really their goal, it's some sort of criminal justice, you know, social justice kind of issue. Yeah. They got to call it something.
They should have just said, you know, we're going to do this fund and we're going to help revitalize the inner city. And then they wouldn't, when, you know, that's kind of a euphemism. Mm-hmm. You know what we're talking about,
but
black
we're
people.
Put money into the communities that need it is one thing.
You should be a political consultant.
Yeah, I should.
That's kind of what I think. Have you thought about that as a career?
I have.
That's good.
I have.
Mayor,
I think
really
should
have called you.
I kind of like this radio thing.
Could you imagine being this guy's political consultant?
And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight and then watch the hair come back up again. They look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I love kids jumping on my lap.
Corn Pop.
He was a bad dude.
He is a bad
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
Yes. Mark's favorite song.
It's never too early to learn that the government is a greedy piglet that suckles on a taxpayer's teat until they have sore, chapped nipples.
Spot on, Mr. Swanson. Thank you.
The lady's favorite drop.
Chris Arp's still in the studio with us here. And I want to get to Freddie's call here on line one. Freddie, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Yeah, what's on your mind?
Well, I'd just like to know if your guest has ever followed the money with regards to Ballpark Village and their tax abatements and everything that the citizens of Missouri and St. Louis chipped in. Who's enjoying the revenues now?
That's a good question. I guess whoever the big financing companies were that paid for it, right?
Well, I'd say it would be the DeWitts and the Cardinal organization that's reaping most of the benefits. And the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. What about all the restaurants and bars all around St. Louis and St. Louis County that have lost revenue or gone out of business because of Ballpark Village? Hmm. Nobody even takes that into account.
I don't know. I don't know how you could specifically, what restaurants you think went out of business because of Ballpark Village?
Oh, how about Mike Shannon's first start?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess so. I'm trying to remember when they shut down, but yeah, it probably did bite into their business a bit.
He didn't want to say it did, but he kind of
said in
a roundabout way that Ballpark Village hurt their business.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. That's a good point. And, you know, if I'm at the ballpark, do I like walking into Ballpark Village and sitting down and getting a beer and looking at the big screen? Sure. All I did was question whether or not if millions and millions of taxpayer dollars spread across the state was the right way to spend that money. If it's going to be a commercial success, somebody would have come in there and built it anyway. Unless that ship has sailed. Maybe you could argue.
I think it's
shipped now
sailed.
Now that we've done it a few times, all these big companies are hooked on it, and they're not going to build or relocate unless you give them a little tax money.
The team owners have figured that out.
Yep.
Developers have figured that out. I don't think it can ever be switched back. I think that's just the new paradigm. If you want a major construction deal or team or something, taxpayers are going to have to kick in.
Tax credits. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or they'll go somewhere else. Because someone else will give them what they want.
It's true.
Yeah. Sorry.
Afraid to say it. You see I'm not afraid to say it, I should say. Do you see the president over in NATO this morning? Listen to him here. Cut 27, please.
Well, I would say this. I think it's very unpatriotic of the Democrats to put on a performance where they do that. I do. I think it's a bad thing for our country. Impeachment wasn't supposed to be used that way. All you have to do is read the transcripts. You'll see there was absolutely nothing done wrong. They had legal scholars looking at the transcripts the other day, and they say these are absolutely perfect.
Yeah. So he's talking about the impeachment thing. Yeah. They're going to vote today to send it to the judiciary. What a joke.
I think this just emphasizes that this is a complete rush job. They want to try to get this done before Christmas, before next year, so that their presidential candidates won't be in a Senate hearing. I mean, they couldn't wait a week until next week to do this, to do these impeachment inquiry hearings. We're not really going to learn anything with this. They're going to have academics telling us why the president should be impeached. That couldn't wait a week till the president comes back to the country.
No, of course not.
So.
We have to have a vote Tuesday, and we have to do this Wednesday, and Chris, honestly, give me your, if you were a betting man, mm-hmm. would you bet that they're going to vote to impeach this president, or would you bet that somebody behind the scenes is screaming at them, don't do this because five of our current presidential candidates are going to have to sit as jurors in the Senate for weeks on end if you do this?
You know, the betting money was that they were going to go ahead and impeachment. They've crossed the Rubicon. There's no turning back. I think that they are not going to vote on impeachment.
Really?
I think, like what you were saying, they don't want their candidates in impeachment hearings. This has not gone well with the public. They are not supportive of it. So they're going to try to find some type of way to save face and get out of this.
Yeah, the president is
a censure, probably
holding a news conference right now over with the French President Macron in London, and it doesn't look like anything majors come out of it, but we'll be keeping an eye on it. I'm sure Kilmeade will have the latest on it for you coming up. And, of course, the Annie Fry Show lists a little later today.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.